Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I hope today every amen, every alleluia will just be resonate in our hearts and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I love it every time Joetta reminds us in choir. It's not the quality of our sound, it's the noise that we make in glory to our Lord and Savior. As long as I can remember, I loved to sing. Call me kind of a weird kid. I just thought it was neat. Mom directed the children's choir at our Redeemer Lutheran Church in San Diego. I was too young to be in the choir, but my two sisters participated. Mom had this young choir singing in two and three-part harmonies, which totally astounded the congregation. Mom and Dad both sang in the choir, and I remember as I got older and moved into high school, I joined the church choir as well. It was summer, a long vacation that we had taken to South Dakota in our 25-horsepower Volkswagen van. That meant going over the Rockies about as slow as a person can go. I probably could have walked faster than that van could go. That's not the point. I remember leaning my head up against the window, and I was singing softly a song. I don't remember the song, but I do recall the moment I realized that it was dead silent except for the little putt-putt motor we had in our car. And so I stopped singing and looked at my two sisters who were staring at me and then burst into laughter. I was totally embarrassed. And quite frankly, it's surprising that that didn't stop my love for singing. Well, after a two-year interlude of playing the trumpet and French horn in junior high school, my sister convinced me in high school to join the choir, and it was life-changing for me. It was an awesome experience. Our director was a phenomenal guy, and he brought out the best in his students. The choir never got less than a first superior rating in any competition that we had. And for our choir, to quote the famous Vince Lombardi, I promise this is the last time I'll use a quote from Vince Lombardi for the rest of my ministry, who said, "Winning isn't everything, it's the only thing." That was our mindset in everything we did. Just before Christmas in my senior year, I asked our principal, Walter Barnett, I remember him so fondly, and I was asking him for an all-day hall pass for the entire football team so that we could wander around the quad and in and out of classrooms all day singing Christmas carols. You got to picture this. It was pretty funny. I had a little bit of clout being the president of the choir and the defensive captain of the football team. So here's these guys really getting into it. And it was funny that nobody gave us any flack. In fact, it was one of the most intimidating groups of carolers with which I have ever participated with. After our almost perfect season, 13-1, and losing the nail-biter game in the championship game in San Diego Stadium, home of the San Diego Chargers, there was still a ton of pride in our team and in our school. On that day, nobody dared to ridicule us. It wasn't unusual for this team to sing on the bus coming home from games until that last game, because we never lost. There's something about winning that causes people to rejoice in song, in singing. Now, let me change gears here for a moment. Pastor Daniel and I were chatting last week on the way back to the seminary. I think it was last week or the Sunday before. And we were talking about King David. And we were talking about, you know, this is kind of another conversation, but this part of it just really sunk into my brain. We were just talking about the sinfulness of man in our human nature. And how David, you know, was perceived by God, and it said many times in there that David was a man after God's own heart. And you wonder how he could have received that kind of title, you know, when he had suffered as he did in his tryst with Bathsheba. Everybody's really quick to remember that one incident that got him into a world of trouble. How could God be on David's side, we say to ourselves. And Pastor Daniel said, you know, God knows the heart. And I thought, boy, doesn't that say it all? God knows the heart. So true. Now, if you read Psalm 51, which was David's psalm of repentance about that whole period of his life, if you read that heart-rending confession of sin, you can begin to understand why God considered David a man after his own heart. David was a warrior from the get-go, with a compassionate heart and a gigantic faith. David slew the Philistine giant Goliath when he was just a shepherd boy. As a military commander, David led Israel to extend his borders to the geographical boundaries the Lord had promised to Abraham in Genesis chapters 13 and 15. Genesis 13, 14, 15 says, the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever. God had also had anointed David to replace Saul as king. But David refused to usurp the power from Saul because he still recognized him as God's anointed. The closer you look at David's life, you can begin to see what God saw in him, because God sees the heart. Every military campaign he went into brought victory for Israel. But David's secret power, which really wasn't a secret, he wrote songs of faith in the one who gave him the victory. He knew who gave him the strength to be victorious in life. He acknowledged the Lord as the object of his worship and praise in song. And he encouraged and led the people to sing to praises to the Lord. Let me just read that psalm again, Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord, David says. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountain are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. While David is attributed by the people as being the force behind Israel's victories from salvation of their enemies, David always attributes their victories to the Lord, the rock of our salvation. The Lord is a great God and a great King above all the so-called gods, the false gods of the Gentiles. David's God is the God whose hands created the earth and everything that is in it. There is no other like him. So David calls to Israel, sing to the Lord, to make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation, to come into his presence with thanksgiving, to make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. You may not be a singer like Celine Dion or Michael Bublé, but God knows your heart and loves to hear your response of joyous songs and praise, even if it sounds like noise in other people's ears. Sing out. I have a little confession right here. I've picked on a few people because Not so much because I thought they were bad singers, but because they would say they couldn't sing. And so I'd kind of go right along with it and pick on them every time I had got the opportunity, because that's the kind of person I am. And so my apologies if I've ever said anything to you about your singing. Mine's kind of going away now too. And so I see a few people here and there that I've kind of made some comments to, and my apologies. I hope you'll forgive me for those things. People in church sing to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for many reasons. You know, we're just coming off this Thanksgiving season where we thanked God for his many provisions that support our life and our well-being. That's the most basic understanding of the petition of the Lord's Prayer as we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And this past Thanksgiving, I even reminded people of Luther explaining that what daily bread is. It's everything God gives, like food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. And we read this list at our Thanksgiving Eve service, and it's pretty exhaustive, but I have a feeling Luther could have gone a lot further than he did. But here we are now moving into the season of Advent, leading us to the celebration of Christ's first appearing in Bethlehem, and the angelic announcement to the shepherds of the fields, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. We learn of the person of Jesus, through Simeon, who blessed Mary and Joseph and the child Jesus, saying, Lord, you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles, that's us, and for the glory of your people Israel. He also gives us the scope of the work of his salvation when he says to Mary, this is Simeon still speaking, blessing him, he privately says to Mary, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, reminding us of the sword that pierced the heart of our Lord as he died on the cross. Jesus would rescue humanity through his death on that cross. Not something we're particularly fond of singing about, is it? Until we get to the end of the story, the resurrection of Jesus. Paul wrote in our letter today, for as by a man came death, by a man, the Lord Jesus, has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. That's our hope. My friends, is there anything in this world more worthy of our songs of praise? Will we sing when the Cardinals win the World Series, or the Blues take the Stanley Cup, or when our high school band achieves another superior rating, or wins the national championship, or when our football team wins their championship in the state championship, but then neglect to sing the praises of God who has come into our world to bring us victory over our greatest enemy? As I said before, or as Vince Lombardi, I said I wasn't going to say it one more time, but I'm going to say it one more time. Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing, especially when it comes to our Savior Jesus, who died and rose again to defeat death forever, bringing us the hope of eternal life. I can't think of anything more worthy of praise than that. And I hope that when you sing to God, it comes as it came to David, from the heart. that you believe and trust in God for every victory in life, but most important for the victory that he's made secure through his death and resurrection. God be praised. Amen.